Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Let's just pray. Father, we thank you that your word is alive, that your word is active, that your word does things. We thank you that right at the beginning in Genesis, you said, let there be light. And you were released. The light of who you are was released to begin to create, to begin to form, to begin to bring life into being. And Father, we thank you that same creative force, that light, your word is at work right now this morning. And Father, I thank you that as we declare, preach, decree, speak your word, that your word's going to come alive in us in a greater way. You in us is going to come alive in us in a greater way. We're going to live more fully in who you are, live more fully in the power of your word in our lives, the power of the gospel that is at work in us. And Father, I just pray that every one of us would have a fresh ignition this morning of your life in us through your word. And Father, I pray that none of us will ever be the same again after what you do and what you say in our lives this morning. Amen. Amen. Big prayer, but he's a big God. Is that right? So just grab a seat and let's get our seatbelts on. Great. Excellent. Now, this morning, I want to look at the power of the gospel that is at work in you and in me. The power of the gospel that is at work in the church and what that looks like and what that means. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. How many of you have seen the program on the TV, Extreme Makeover Home Edition? Anybody seen that? How many of you have never seen it? How many have just not bothered putting your hands up? Yeah. Megan, our daughter, she loves this program. And so I've, you know, because I like to do what Megan does rather than getting her to do the things that I like to do, then you find yourself doing things or watching things you wouldn't normally watch. So this kind of home makeover, special edition, whatever it's called, I wouldn't normally sit down and get a cup of tea and a piece of cake and watch that, you know. But so she's been recording these recently, and while Jane was away in Israel, we watched a few of these, me and Megs, here and there during the week she was away, and they make you cry. And I know 11-year-olds can be emotional, okay, but she's watching these things, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like filling up, and you know, tears are just coming out. And she's sitting there going, Dad, what's up with you? What's the matter? You're like, Mum, she cries at everything, you know. And but these programs, they are such an amazing picture of what God is like and what the gospel is and what the gospel does. Because what they do is they find a family or a situation that they hear about, and they're either living in a home that is literally falling apart. One edition that we watched the other day, there was a mum with her three kids, and their house literally was held together with gaffer tape, you know, duct tape, various bits. They didn't have a toilet that flushed. They didn't have running water. They had one of their main windows on the side of the house. It wasn't there, and they had a big blanket. The house was kind of built on some brick columns or pillars, you know. And the place was just an absolute mess. And you think, that's America, you know, and you think people wouldn't live in the kind of conditions. And so what this makeover team do, they come and they have a look around the house, and the parent shows the team, you know, the state of the house and what they're living in. And obviously the host of the program, he's so encouraging. He's like, well, we're here to change it. We're here to change your life. Your life will never be the same again. You know, we're going to get rid of this home completely. There won't be anything left of it. There's going to be nothing, you know, that you'll be able to, that resembles, you know, what this house represents in what's going to happen here. And what we're going to build for you is going to transform your life. And they tell this story, and when you watch one program, you think, there can't be another worse situation than this. Then you watch the next program, and it's like, wow, that was worse. And you just find you're crying even more than the program you watched before. And, So now when we watch them, I have a big box of tissues there. So Megan's like, not quite, but Megan's like, should we watch one of those? And I'm like, oh, okay, it's time to cry, okay. So, yeah, I need my heart softened a bit, so let's watch one of those, shall we? And it's great, great fuel for going into prayer after that, anyway. But so what they do is they send the family on holiday for a week. And they say, right, you know, we'll send you to Disneyland or wherever. You go on holiday for a week. And then they get hundreds and hundreds of people from the local community, along with a building company that are going to build this house in 7 days. And they get all these volunteers, and everybody's like, yeah, come on, you know, we can do it. And there's this massive community of people with this focus, and we're going to rebuild this home. We're going to do something completely new so that this family have a totally new life when they come back next week. And so then they bring the diggers in, and when they bring the diggers in, they always show it on video to the family on holiday. So they watch on this laptop while they're on holiday their house being demolished by these diggers and people going in and smashing it to bits. And there's on one level, sometimes the parents particularly can find it a bit hard because there's a lot of history. You've lived your life, you've grown up in a situation. But yet, at the same time, there's a joy because they know that this old thing that they've lived in is going and they're going to have a totally new thing when they arrive next week. They've got no idea what it's going to look like. Absolutely no idea whatsoever, okay? And so they watch this thing being demolished and then they drag everything away, remove everything from the site, even redo all the ground, the land, the whole thing. So it's like a total, total new beginning. And then in 7 days, they build this house, whatever it looks like, depending on what the program is. And they don't just build something that will do. They build something that is incredible, is over the top, is just more than this family could ask or imagine. It goes beyond their wildest dreams. It's filled with the best furniture, the most amazing kind of way that it's done out in terms of decor and facilities and everything else. And then they come back. And when they come back, there's a huge bus, you know, one of these massive RV coach things that the team who do the program, they sort of arrive in, you know, at the beginning of the week. And so there's this, so when the family brought back, they're brought back in a limo and they can't see out of it and they park behind this bus and so they stand, and there's the bus between them and their new home. And so while they're standing there, you know, they're saying, are you ready to see your new home? And you can tell they're excited, but at the same time, they're really, because they know their lives are going to be totally different as a result. And so everybody then shouts, move that bus, and all that sort of thing. I'm getting really into this, okay, this program. It's becoming my favourite TV program, okay? It's even better than the news. Anyway, I was going to say it's even more exciting than watching Arsenal play, but mine aren't quite there. But anyway, so everybody's, move that bus, and the bus moves away like that. And what happens is there's this massive elation and that absolute shock on their face at what they can see, because it is so over the top. It is so far beyond anything they could have imagined or asked for. And then you see this joy, but you see them also crumble sometime and they can't take it, what they can see, because it is just so, so good. And they thank all the people and all that. And then the guy says, come on, let's go and see your new home. And what always happens is the camera's inside the home and the door opens slowly. Normally it's the mum who comes in and looks around the door. And as they walk in, the whole family, and they're absolutely in shock and awe as to what they come across. These homes are incredible. And in one level, in your head, you're going, but these people aren't used to living in something like this. This is beyond, I mean, it doesn't, you know. And you think, well, will it suit them? Will it work? Will they know how to, you know? I mean, they're huge homes and what they do and what they build, the facilities and everything. But yet at the same time, you're sitting there thinking, that is just like God. That is so just like God. That when you relate that to the gospel and what the gospel is all about, he takes us from what, in his eyes, no matter what your circumstances. Because sometimes we look at people's lives and we look at the circumstances and say, well, their circumstances don't look too bad. They've got a good job, a nice house, a nice car, so they're doing all right. But that person, they're in more kind of difficult situations, don't have much money. Their circumstances look different. But God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at what's going on the inside of somebody, in the sense that whether somebody, if somebody doesn't know God, doesn't matter what their circumstances are, their life, if you don't know God, he's held together with gaffer tape. There's no running supply of life going through their life. They're just trying to deal with the stuff as they go. Even though the outward might look good, on the inside, God sees there's devastation. God sees they need a total restart, a total rebuild in their lives. And that's happened to many of us in this room, if not most of us, this morning. And the amazing thing is, God doesn't just do a little bit of work on us and give us a little bit of himself. And then when we've understood that, give us a little bit, deal with a little bit more, and then give us a little bit more. No, he starts with a complete wiping out of everything that we've lived in, everything that we've gone before, everything that's been held together with gaffer tape. He gets rid of all of that lot, and then he redoes the ground ready to do something completely new. That is so over the top in terms of who he is and the life that he gives us. That it takes us the rest of our lives to discover just how amazing, how incredible he is. And everything that he gave us at that moment, when we said, move that bus, or we said, sin, get out of my life, I don't want you anymore, I'm choosing Jesus. The bus moved, if you like, and we saw everything that God has given us, and we're in total shock and awe and amazement, saying, God, you're so incredible, so good, I don't deserve any of it. This is beyond me. I couldn't have asked or imagined for any of that lot, but you've given me. And he says, I know, because I'm God, I'm King, I'm Lord, I'm in charge. So I've given you everything of who I am. It's going to take the rest of your life to discover it. It might even take us the whole of eternity to actually really find out who he is. I think even on the day we come before him, I don't know if we're going to fully understand everything about him. I don't know. I haven't been there yet. We'll find out when we get there. But let's have a look at the word, okay? I want just to have that as a backdrop to what we're saying. Also, in many of these programs, what the community does is they get together and they get all the money together to wipe out the mortgage that they had on the old house, all the debt that they had. And often the community says, hey, we've got together and we've clubbed together and we've paid your mortgage off. So you're coming into this life debt free. There's nothing from the old that can even hook itself into the new, saying there's still a bit of debt. We're going to reel you back in this way. You're going to have to sell it. You're going to have to compromise this. You're going to have to do something. And God's like, no, I cut it all off. You're debt free. Amazing. And let's have a look at the word and sort of bring all this together. In Matthew chapter 6, it's the Lord's Prayer. You know, they're like, teach us how to pray. And then Jesus says, this then, verse 9, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's just stop there. Jesus starts with relationship. Our Father. Okay, now God takes us out of lostness, being lost, and he doesn't just save us from our sin. The gospel is more than just being forgiven from your sin. The gospel is more than just a sin issue. The gospel is the message. The gospel is it means to evangelize or to gospelize, okay? It's to transform something from one thing into another. That's what the gospel is, okay? It's to transform from one thing, one being, into another being. To evangelize, gospelize, okay? And what the word is saying here is our Father. So God takes us from being lost. Yes, our sins get forgiven so that we can come into sonship. That's what the gospel is all about. The gospel is to take us from being lost, from being in darkness, into light. We're forgiven and we repent in order to be forgiven. That's the doorway into the life that God gives. But he brings us into sonship. The gospel is to restore us to the original intention that God had for every one of us that is alive. Where we blew it, we lost it, and we disobeyed God. God says, I'm going to do something to restore, not just to be forgiven, but to restore relationship and sonship so they can be children of God, children of mine, relationship with me. So he starts with, how do you pray? It starts with relationship. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Starts with worship. But then he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the church here for? The church is here to see the kingdom of heaven, whatever's happening in the kingdom of heaven up there, to be downloaded on earth here. That's what the church is for, to see God's kingdom purposes outworked on the earth. So, what is a kingdom like? A kingdom has a ruler. So God's kingdom has a ruler, Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. With a kingdom, there is authority. So when you have a kingdom, there's authority, there's rule, there's reign, there's governance, there's rule and reign. There's something that's going to happen in that kingdom because of the rule and reign in that kingdom. And so when Jesus prays here, your kingdom come, your will be done. He's saying your rule and reign come on the earth as it is in heaven. Your lordship come on earth as it is in heaven. So in our lives, when we respond to the gospel of the kingdom, okay, which he talks about 22 times in the New Testament, talks about the gospel of the kingdom. It's not just about being saved from your sin. The gospel of the kingdom is about God's rule and reign coming into your life. It's about God's authority coming into your life so that you can live as a person of victory because you're a child of the kingdom. You're a son of the kingdom. You're a son of the king. And therefore, you've come into this kingdom where God rules and reigns and God is exercising his authority and his purpose. And you come into that as a son of God to also rule and reign and have victory with him. Anybody alive this morning? Just nudge the person next to you and say, it's okay to join in. Brilliant. So he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. So it's about his rule and reign, and it's about his purpose being outworked on the earth. So this gospel of the kingdom is about his rule and reign in your life and in my life. So that his lordship is number one in us as individuals. If his lordship is number one in our lives as individuals, his lordship's going to be in the life of the church. And we're going to come to that in a few minutes. What does this mean for the church? But let's just have a look for the first few minutes at what does this mean for us. Now, the Bible talks about God's kingdom advancing and that it advances forcefully, or forceful men lay hold of it. So God's kingdom is all about taking ground. It's about going forward. It's not about retreat or going backwards. It's about going forward. When we look in the Bible at the story of the people of Israel going through the wilderness, they moved from the wilderness and they were going towards the promised land. They were going to the place that God had promised them and say, this is the land I'm giving you. This is the place you're going to settle. This is where as a nation you're going to live and you're going to inhabit. And they went through 40 years of the wilderness where it was an incredible time of provision and miracle during that 40 years. God provided shoes that never wore out. He provided food every day. It was a season of miraculous provision from God during those 40 years. But they were journeying through that to go to the destination, the inheritance that God was promising them. They came to the promised land, and when they came into the promised land, God had already kind of sussed out that he was going to allocate, if you like, different areas of this promised land to the 12 tribes of Israel. But they all went up together to take hold of all the different areas that they were going to possess and inherit. So they moved together, and then each tribe settled in a different part of the land because that's what God had assigned for them to live in. And so that's where God wanted to establish his rule and reign in their lives and work his purposes out from there to settle them in that place. And then his life and his power go out from that place in terms of what then God was going to do moving forward. But when they went into the promised land, it wasn't about just settling down. It was about possessing. It was about inheriting. It was about taking ground. And so when God comes into our lives, his rule and reign, it's to take you from the ground of darkness or being lost into the ground of your inheritance, the fullness of his life, for you and me to live fully in that fullness of the life that he's given us, and then to see others come into that life also. Now, in order to see all that happen, he brings us into the body. So we're not just individuals anymore doing our own thing, trying to work this out. He brings us into the body. And together as a body, we move forward in God's kingdom purposes. God's given us vision for this town, for Crawley, for the 25-mile radius. And We'll come to some of that early January in terms of how we're going to begin to step more into that. And some of the things God's been speaking to us as a leadership, some things we've been working through, just getting our heads around as to how we're going to move forward much more intentionally, much more actively to go forward. Because it's not just about doing church. It's actually about God's kingdom advancing. What does it look like for God's kingdom to advance? It means to come into somebody's life. You see, you and me, we have the kingdom, and the kingdom grows within you as you walk with God. But God wants to extend his kingdom, and his kingdom gets extended by his kingdom coming into other people's lives. So as more and more people get saved, his kingdom is extending, his kingdom is advancing. You see, the church isn't just about influence. God wants the church to be ruling and reigning in what happens in life. So we're not here just to influence a little bit, to put a few good ideas in people's minds. God's like, no, the church is here to see my rule and reign on earth as it is in heaven. It doesn't say my influence come and my influence be outworked in the world. It says, no, my kingdom rule and reign come and work out in the earth. So it's like God's raising up a people of faith, a people that are saying, we're going to take ground. We're going to move forward. We're not going to settle just for the piece of ground we have and the life we have. No, we're going to live beyond where we are. We're going to see God do more than we've ever seen before. And we're going to see more and more lives impacted and transformed as this kingdom is advancing, because it's advancing through a people that are advancing. You're very quiet this morning. Just nudge the person next to you again. Say, make sure you're awake, mate. Okay, so this is this advancing kingdom. Okay, the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, let's just have a look for a few moments at another phrase, the gospel of Christ. Just turn to Romans 1, 16 for a moment. Romans 1, 16. Let's have a look. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For the gospel, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. But he's saying here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Now, this gospel is the gospel of Christ. What does the word Christ mean? Christ means anointed, means savior. It means Messiah. It means deliverer. Ultimately, Christ, the gospel of Christ means to set free, to heal. It means to restore, to make whole. It means to bring back to its original intention. So we remember that program. They completely got rid of everything that represented the old. And that's what Christ is in terms of deliverer, to set free, to heal, to restore. And it's interesting how the word Christ means anointed. And in the Old Testament, there's quite a bit about anointing, about the anointing breaks the yoke of the oppressor. So the anointed one, Christ, you know, came to break every yoke of the devil, every yoke of the enemy, came to conquer sin, death and hell, to deal with everything that could separate you and me from God. He destroyed all of it, overcame all of it to open the way so that we could boldly and confidently respond to God and be forgiven, to be accepted, not just so that our sins are forgiven, but so we're brought into sonship. And because of that sonship, we become heirs with Christ, and then we begin to rule and reign with Christ. That means we're a people of authority, a people of victory who can overcome in our lives. That's our call as believers. That we're not just stepping over the threshold and that'll do. God says, no, I've got so much more for you than just stepping over the threshold of my kingdom. There's an adventure. Rob and Katie prayed for Aidan. And one of the things Rob prayed for Aidan and Isaac, that they'd have many adventures together in the future. God's got loads of adventures for us. Kingdom adventures. Kingdom adventures. There's something on the inside of you that is not satisfied unless you're pursuing a kingdom adventure. See, if you're not pursuing a kingdom adventure, then you're going to give yourself to something else. you're going to find something else gets a hook and just begins to reel you in a little bit. And you kind of just begin to go off the boil a bit. And you just begin, a little bit less defensive. Your shield of faith just kind of drops down a little bit. And your sword of the spirit, if you like, is not held up in the same way. And you become vulnerable, you become open to being taken out, to be distracted, taken to the left or to the right. But when you're pursuing a kingdom adventure, you don't have time to give yourself to things that could distract or ultimately try and destroy you in your life, because you're giving yourself to what you've been saved into, what you've been saved for, which is to live for the glory of who Jesus is. It's to live to see his name lifted up in your life. It's to pursue his kingdom purposes in what God's called you to, where he's called you to be in this season of your life. And as you move forward in that, how you're part of the church, and how we're moving forward into kingdom adventure together in terms of what God wants to do to possess lives and take over lives and take ground so his kingdom advances forcefully. Is that all right? Yeah. Didn't use the word okay. I said that's all right. JD and me had a conversation. I spoke earlier in the week and I said okay 43 times in a message. So I said to JD, I'm not going to say that word this morning. So if anybody hears the word with O and K in it, give us a shout. But I won't say all right either. So we have the gospel of the kingdom, which is God's rule and reign. That's God's ultimate purpose, okay? The one and only time you're going to hear that. I've done really well up to then, haven't I? Oh, never mind. Right, that's the end. Let's pray. All right. You keep interrupting me. Then we have the gospel of Christ. See, the gospel of the kingdom is about his rule and reign. The gospel of Christ is about him coming into our lives. And when he comes into our lives, that means God's kingdom rule and reign comes into our lives. When you have the gospel of Christ, you have Christ, the anointed one in you, then you have the life in you that can overcome every opposition. You have the anointed of the Holy One in you, the anointed that has broken every power of the enemy. You have the anointing, the anointed one on the inside of you that can have victory over every way in which the enemy then seeks to try and steal, kill and destroy from your life. So God just doesn't bless you with something. He says, I give you myself. I go so over the top that's going to take you the rest of your life to discover everything of who I am. Then we talk about the gospel of peace. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, it talks about the gospel of peace. And if nobody's sent, who can hear? If nobody hears, how can they know? How can they respond? How can they be saved? And so the word peace there means to be made one with or to join, to become inseparable. The gospel of peace means to be made, to have total well-being. It means the word peace there means to find total rest in your soul. I'm amazed at how much God has done to sort it all out for us so that we don't have to try and do anything to try and sort it for ourselves. So we've got the gospel of the kingdom, his rule and reign, his majesty, his sovereign rule and reign, his authority, his lordship. That's what the gospel's all about, coming to earth as it is in heaven, so that his rule and reign is extended. He does that through you and me, the body of Christ, the church. And he says, you get saved into that through the gospel of Christ, through the anointed one, through the Messiah, the one who's laid down his life for us. And in responding to the message, to the gospel, to who Christ is for us and in our lives, we then come into the gospel of peace, which is we're made one with him. We're made right with him. There is rest in your soul. You have found your resting place because you've come into the relationship with God that you were created to have as a person, as a human being. So there's rest and well-being in your soul. I love that, don't you? Rest in your soul. I just want to read a bit from John chapter 1 to you, and then we're going to go into another kind of part of the message, part 1 and part 2 this morning. I'm going to read from the Truth Version. I just want to read a few verses from John chapter 1, which is, well, who is this Jesus then? What is this gospel? What does it look like? What does it sound like? Let's have a look. It says in here, Jesus is the Word. He existed in the beginning before time began. This Word, Jesus, was with God, and indeed the Word was God. I mean, just enough said there. No messing about in the Bible. Jesus is God. Enough said, no arguments, that's it. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word. Let's just have a look. Verse 3, by this spoken word through Jesus, everything, it says, everything was created. So his word is life. His word creates. This anointed one on the inside of you, he is the living word. When he speaks, things are created. When he speaks, things happen. You have the anointed one on the inside of you. Then it says here, nothing could exist if it were not for him. He's awesome, isn't he? In Jesus, in this word, was the life that brought God's light into people's lives. This light came and shone in the spiritual darkness of the world, but the darkness did not want the light, so did not receive him. Before Jesus came, God sent another man called John to his people. God called him to be a witness to prepare people for the coming of the light, for he wanted everyone to believe in Jesus. But John was not the light, only the one preparing for the coming of the light. Jesus himself was the true light, able to give spiritual light and understanding to all men. And he was coming into the world. Just think about this. Gospel of the kingdom. God's rule and reign. God decides, I'm coming to earth. There is nothing that's going to be that could stop the purposes of God coming to earth. No devil, no demon, no principality, no power. There was nothing. God had made the decision. I'm going to come to earth and I'm going to save mankind. And nothing is going to stop me. I'm going to establish my rule and reign in mankind. I'm going to put my own life in them, the anointed one on the inside of them. I'm going to deal with everything that has separated them from me. I'm going to deal with the devil. I'm going to overcome him, sin, death, hell, the lot. I'm going to put myself in them, restore them to be one with me so they are at rest with me. And then I'm going to work my kingdom purposes out in any person that responds to me and wants to walk with me. I'm then going to work out my purposes through them to reach and somebody else, to reach a community, a neighborhood, a town, a city, a nation, even other nations. I'll work with anybody who wants to respond to me because I've got no preference towards people. I'm doing this once and for all and for everybody. And whoever responds to me, I'm going to fill them and so overcome them with who I am, so bless them beyond anything they could ask or imagine, and just saturate them with myself and do so much more than they ever think they could ever deserve, because that's my nature, that's my character. And I'm going to walk with them and I want them to walk with me, to know me and to work out my purposes on the earth. What an incredible God that we serve. So Jesus came from heaven into the world. And although the world was created through him, people did not recognize who he was when he came. Even though he came among those who rightly belonged to him, they still did not accept him. However, some did welcome him, and they came to believe that he was God's son. To them, he gave the right to become God's children, those who were not only born naturally with a human mother and father, but given a second birth by God. The word then became man and came to live amongst us. Those who knew him have seen his glory, and so on and so on. But he talks about there, about becoming sons of God. Now, if we've been saved into this gospel of the kingdom, or into this kingdom, if we've been saved through the gospel of Christ, the Savior, if we've come into the gospel of peace, that place of rest, that place of oneness, okay, God wants to take that somewhere. Let's have a look at Isaiah 45, shall we? Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Isaiah 45. I haven't said the two-letter word for a while. What are we going to do with this incredible kingdom, this incredible gospel of the kingdom, this incredible life and power that is at work in you right now? You know, when a volcano goes off, when a volcano erupts, the heat, the power, the sound, the noise, it's like the life of God on the inside of you is so far beyond that that's going on in you right now. The Holy Spirit is like trillions and trillions and trillions of volcanoes on the inside of you right now. If you know God, the life of God on the inside of you is like, I can't make that noise. But anyway, it's kind of, you know, whoever, on the inside of your spirit right now, saying, come on, let me out. Come on, let me flow through your life. Let me be released through your life. This furnace of God's life at work in you right now this morning, sitting here. And I love these scriptures. Let's have a read of this, Isaiah 45. This is what the Lord says to his anointed. Now, we're going to read about Cyrus for a moment. Now, Cyrus is a type of Christ, okay? And Cyrus really represents the church. So did I say okay then? I did, didn't I? You missed it. Ah, even I remember that one. One to me, one to you, one all. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of. So he says to his anointed, to Cyrus. Now, God has anointed the church. God has anointed the church for his kingdom purposes. God has anointed the church for God's kingdom to be manifested on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? Come on. Just checking. I want to see if you're awake. That's a lie. Anyway, it just came out by accident. 2-1 to you, all right? That's all right. 1-0 to you. So this is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of, to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors. This is the church we're talking about here. So just put the church into this context now, the kind of church that God is growing on the earth, a kingdom people that are moving in the things of God. It says here, to his anointed, the church, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of. God has got us with it, you know, in our right hand. He's leading us to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, that spirit of intercession and prayer, that warring spirit that rises up in the church to say there's God's kingdom purposes at stake on the earth right now, and we are not going to be a passive people that just says, well, there's a problem here and a problem there and the nations are falling over here and there's an issue over there. It's no, God's saying my church is here to rise up as my kingdom people, and where they see stuff and they perceive stuff, you're going to pray into that, you're going to break through into that, you're going to war in the things of God, because it's about taking ground. It's about God's kingdom advancing. It's about the kingdom of heaven up there coming down on earth down here. To subdue nations, strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. God has summoned us by name to know him. He summoned us and he says, you're mine. You belong to me. I've bought you with a price. I've taken you out of lostness and brought you into total freedom, a new life. I've made you a son of mine and heir with me. You're ruling and reigning. So I want to give your lives to that rule and reign of my kingdom on earth. Don't give it to something else where you could be taken to the left or the right. Give yourself to my kingdom purposes and you'll live in the rest of your soul. See, as we give ourselves to him and his kingdom purposes, there is a rest in your soul. There's an abiding in your soul. There's a place of peace in your soul. Then what does it say in further on in this chapter? It says here, verse 13, I will raise up Cyrus in my righteousness. and I will make all his ways straight. I'm going to raise up the church, my people, my kingdom people, a people of righteousness, who will make all, and I will make all his ways straight. You know, sometimes there's the dealings of God in our lives. Sometimes we are wrong and God is right. God is always right. But sometimes we're not. In the sense that it's great when you're walking with God, but then sometimes whatever, and you think you're right when you're not. And sometimes God has to straighten us up a little bit and say, hey, guys, this is the straight way. This is what I know it's a bit narrow at times, but this is the way I've got for you. This is the place of rest. This is the place of fruitfulness. This is the place of living in my authority and under my authority. This is the place where you're going to have breakthrough. This is the place where you're going to see my kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And he says, he said, I will make his ways straight. As we walk with him, he leads us. He will rebuild my city and set my exiles free, but not for a price or reward, says the Lord Almighty. I love this. I just want to share a few things with you, okay, about Cyrus or about the church and what this means, okay? Cyrus is a type of Christ, okay, or a parallel, if you like, to Christ. And Christ is the deliverer who takes people from captivity into freedom, into promise, into wealth, and into blessing, okay? So the church is here with that mandate from God, with the message or the gospel of reconciliation to help bring people, to deliver people from captivity into freedom, into the promises of God, into the wealth, the full riches of who God is, and to live in the blessing of God. It says Cyrus is anointed. So the church is anointed. And it's like God, the church is anointed and prophetically commissioned to save and bring deliverance. Yes. See, the church is not about form and structure. The church is something that is alive. It's a living organism. The church is not about having meetings and life groups and events. Maybe we do those things because they're things that have to be organized. But actually, higher than that, the church is prophetically commissioned to bring salvation and deliverance to individuals, to communities, to towns, to villages, cities, nations. That's why we're here as a church. That's the call upon your and my life. And you might be working in a business, you might be working in a shop, doesn't matter where you're working, God has prophetically commissioned you where you are, where you're living in this season of life, to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In verse 28 of Isaiah 44, it talks about Cyrus being a shepherd. A shepherd leads and guides the flock. God has called us to be shepherds of the people, people who lead and guide. But the church is here to set captives free, to transform territories, places, where people live, to see the kingdom of God built and established, and to redeem hidden treasures stolen by the enemy. There's a number of things in there. One is treasures are people in God's eyes. People's lives that have been stolen by the enemy in rack and ruin. And God's saying, no, the church is here to redeem hidden treasures. What did Jesus say about himself in I think it's Luke 19 verse 10, where Jesus says himself, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I've come to seek out, to look for, to find, to retrieve and bring back. I've come to save, to completely restore to its original intention. That's what the seek and save means. And God's given us that ministry of reconciliation. He says to the church, hey guys, you've got to go out there and seek and save. Go and look for, find, retrieve, bring back, preach the gospel, share the gospel, live the gospel, demonstrate the gospel of this kingdom, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of peace. Let people encounter the reality of that in your life so that they respond to me in the same way that you have responded. There's a number of things here that the church, God wants the church to be moving in as a Cyrus church, as a church that is anointed to see this gospel of the kingdom outworked on the earth, is to know how to have victory in prayer. Yeah. It's to be a soul-winning people. Yeah. People moving in the power of God, seeing the sick healed, casting out demons, moving in the supernatural in that way. The church is a compassionate church. Has a heart for the poor and needy and the hurting, reaching out to those in those situations. Osiris people or the church in this day are to be a people of wisdom. They understand God's plans and strategies, God's purpose. They don't just understand the times, but they know what to do in the times. That Issachar thing. Also, the church is called to be a prophetic people. People speaking into society, speaking prophetically, not on a soapbox telling everybody where they're going wrong. We're right, you're wrong, with that kind of attitude. But actually, as a prophetic people saying, hey, there's some wisdom from heaven. There's some things from heaven that God wants to download on the earth so that everybody knows what's going on and then knows what they need to do in order to keep away from that tragedy or that devastation that's going to impact a city, a nation or nations. What's going on the earth right now? There's so much stuff. The earth is on the edge at this moment, all over the world. It is such a thin line between everything looking all right and there's a few issues going on that we need to try and sort out and total catastrophe. I'm not being negative. This is where it's at. And if any time was a time to cry out to God and get into God's purposes and really move in the things of God, today is that day, certainly in our generation of time, in terms of what's happening. The church, the Osiris people, are a healthy people, spiritually and relationally. It's all in these verses here. We haven't got time to take them out individually. Then also, Osiris people is a people that are wealthy. And some people don't like that. Wealthy. Some of that is to do with finances in the world coming over into the kingdom. And various things that the word says to that, the wealth of the world, or the wicked, or whatever, is stored up for the people of God. And there's finances out there to do all kinds of things. But there's a wealth, and the wealth is financial, but the wealth is the total well-being in one sense of who we are as a people. That's why you're saved today. This is what it means this morning to be a believer. Christianity is not just about your and my needs being met. God does that because he's a good father. And he knows what we need. But at the same time as being in the family of God and being a son of God and how God speaks to us, meets our needs and grows us, matures us, develops us as a child of his, as a son of his. And as we mature in that, we also got to understand there's a much bigger thing that God is doing that's not centered around my life. Before you got saved, your life was centered around you. Everything revolved around you. Now you're in this kingdom, this kingdom life doesn't revolve around you and me. Wow. That's an affront to Western culture. Western culture is, I'm first, I'm the most important, I'm going to tread on anybody I can to step up to get as far as I can, do as well as I can, and all of that. That's Western culture on one level. But this kingdom is not about you and me, it's about him and his purposes. We get saved into his purposes, and there's a bigger reason than why you've been saved. You haven't just been saved so that you are forgiven. You've been saved so that you can become a son of God, to be restored to the original purpose that God created mankind for and why Jesus came and died on the cross to reestablish sonship for you and me. That's what the gospel is all about. Sonship being restored so that we can rule and reign in our own lives and over our own lives, in our families, households, in the church and in the community, in the different aspects of life, where we are, where we're serving, where we're working, that God wants to say, that's where I want to rule and reign. That's where I want you to take, first of all, my kingdom influence into something, and influence turns into rule and reign. It's got to start somewhere. So you and me, we've got this incredible light on the inside of us, the light of life, the living God, the Word made flesh. We've got the life of God on the inside, the anointed one on the inside of us today. You've got the power and the authority of God's kingdom living on the inside of you. And as we submit to his lordship daily, say, God, I just submit to you, I want to walk with you. Then that authority, that lordship, his life, the light of who he is flows in us and then flows through us as that life goes out through us. Are you ready? Yeah. Let's stand together. 2-1 to you on the OKs. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you love Jesus? Doesn't he? He goes way more over the top than the extreme makeover home edition team do. I don't know what channel it is. What channel is it on? Really? Who? Really channel. Really? Really? Oh, really? If you've got Sky TV or something, go to the Really channel. Just find one of them. Record. Just watch one. Just for me, all right? And have a good cry. Enjoy it. But don't sit there and kind of like, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that house. Oh, the way they've done the colours, I don't like that. I'd have done it different. Just go beyond that level, okay? Do you like the sofa or not, or what they did with the bedrooms and all of that? Just sit there and be totally blown away by the so over-the-top approach they take, okay? You could sit there and go, well, they're just spoiling them. Just go beyond that, okay? Because God has... We don't deserve anything that God has done for us. Absolutely nothing. A lot of this program is based on, because they've worked in the community, they're incredible people, even though they're living in squalor, they constantly live for other people. And they're like, man, you deserve this, you deserve this. We don't deserve anything, but yet God goes so over the top and he says, this is all for you. This is so you can be one of mine, so you can be in a relationship with me, you know. And all these people in this program, most of them anyway, some of them, but most of them were like, wow, we can, all the people we can share this with. Because a lot of their lives are already geared around helping other people. And that's why so many people in the community wanted to build a house for them. Because they're known in the community for helping people, serving people, loving people, whatever. And they're like, and so quite often what they do in these houses, they would build one massive room as part of the house that was this like a massive room so people can have people in and so it's not just a nice lounge that you don't want anybody to come into and get their dirty feet on or whatever, but they always build like a massive cinema room or a function room or something. It's because they're so community geared and they're like, oh, we can just have so many people over, we can bless people. And it's like, and that's the overflow in our lives. Man, God has done so much for me. I don't want to live my Christian life just geared around myself and what's going on. Yeah, there are times when, man, we've got stuff that is challenging us, issues, pressures, things I don't want to deal with, things that I'm facing, things that weren't my problem initially, stuff is coming my way. In that, we're not just saying, well, stuff all of that lot and just live. No, in that, there's got to be the reality of the power of the gospel, the reality of the life of God in you. It helps you to deal with that with a good attitude and a good heart, coming under his lordship. And somehow, even though sometimes things are tough, there is a way through. And that's where time, we have to hold on to God. It's like, God, I need to submit to you. I need to be under your lordship. Father, I need you to work in my heart so my heart stays clean, it stays pure. I want to be full of grace and love. I want to forgive others. Whatever you need to do in me, do it. So there's a resolution, a reconciliation, whatever it might be in a situation. Because that's the power of the gospel. Otherwise, we're saying, God, you're not big enough to deal with it. Your life in me isn't enough to deal with that. That's bigger because it, you know, it looks impossible. But God can do the impossible. Thank you, Jesus. Firstly, let's just thank the Lord that we're part of this incredible kingdom. His rule, his reign. Maybe just give yourself to the Lord for a minute. Come under his lordship. Can we have the band up? It'd be great, thanks. Just bring yourself under his lordship afresh this morning. Thank him for that he's gone so over the top in your life today. So over the top in how good he is, how much he's lavished you with himself. Just worked in your life. This incredible kingdom, this gospel of Christ that has forgiven you, set you free, wiped the slate totally clean. You've had a totally fresh start. And he's not just saved you, but he's brought you into sonship. Just thank you. Thank him for the sonship that he's given you right now, that he's brought you into relationship with him, and that there is rest in your soul. Now, maybe for some, you haven't got rest in your soul. Maybe today, some people here, you don't know Jesus. Maybe others of you, there's just something you're really battling with, trying to work through a situation going on in life at the moment that is like, man, this is hard work. Or you know you've made decisions and you've lost that peace, if you like, that rest in your soul. Often our response is to move away from God, to back off from him. But actually the best response is to move towards him. As you draw near to him, he draws near to you. As you take a step to him, he takes a step to you and meets you right at your point of need. So if you know you've made some decisions and you're like, man, I've lost my peace. I feel I'm slightly out of kilter with God because of stuff that I've been doing. Then just bring that before the Lord right now. Father, I want to come back under your authority, right under your lordship. I want to live in the good of your kingdom. I want to live in the power of Christ, the anointed one on the inside of me. I want to live in the peace of who you are. I want to find rest in my soul once again. Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your forgiveness right now. Thank you that you realign things in my life. I bring this towards you, whatever it is, and ask you to forgive me. Thank you for a realigning right now. If you know you're being confronted with a situation that's a challenge, just bring that under his lordship right now. Father, I thank you for your rule and reign. That when Jesus began to preach the gospel of the kingdom and he went around, all authority in heaven and earth had been given to him. He went around with the authority of the kingdom, and everywhere he preached, people got healed. People were raised from the dead. Diseases got sorted. All kinds of things happened. Why? Because the authority of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom was at work in him and through him, and therefore nothing could resist this power and authority of the kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom being outworked. There must have been a response. There has to be. There had to be a response because the gospel was coming with authority, with power, and everything had to submit to that and had to move in response to the gospel that Jesus was preaching. And in the same way, as you bring yourself under his authority, something moves in the practical circumstances of your life today. Just bring yourself under his lordship. Father, I bring myself under the lordship of your authority, of your kingdom. I just give you this situation, the challenge of it, the difficulty of it. It seems insurmountable in the natural, but Father, I just come under your authority, under your lordship right now. I give you this situation. Father, I thank you as I bring myself under your lordship. Your rule and reign begins to move into this situation. I thank you that you move in with healing. You move in with reconciliation. You move in, Father, to make this situation whole, to restore it to what you want it to be. Father, I thank you that you come and do the impossible where it seems impossible. I thank you, Jesus, that you move in right now, the anointed one. Thank you, Jesus, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to move into my life in a fresh way, to move into this situation, to restore, to recorrect, to realign things with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. There might be people here this morning that don't know Jesus, and you're like, I want to find out more about Jesus. I want to find out more about what it means to be part of this kingdom that's been talked about, to know this Jesus Christ that's been talked about, to know this peace on the inside that many seem to have in this room. If there's something in you that says, that's what I want, something on the inside is happening with you saying, I want to know more about Jesus. I just want you to just talk to Jesus for a few moments. And just tell him something really simple like, Jesus, I want to somehow get to know you in a way that I don't now. I want to respond to your amazing goodness like that TV program where people had nothing and then they seemed to have something that was everything. God, I want you to take what I'm living in now, the life I have now, and I want a totally, totally new start with you. I don't know what that means or what that looks like, but I want to take a step towards knowing you. If that's you this morning in any way, you're saying, I want to find out more about Jesus. Can you just raise one of your hands so I can see where you are? I just want to pray for you. Anybody this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you this morning for people just responding in their hearts today, in their lives today. Father, I thank you. As people make a response in them, you begin to move in. You begin to touch their lives and transform their lives. Like that program that you clear out everything that has represented the old and separation from you, and you give them massive new life of who you are, that they would come into that today before they leave and go home. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.